Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We've just finished an eschatology school on the Book of Daniel, where we really got to look at some things that point toward what's happening right now. Now, I won't be able to go into detail on the radio like we did in that school, but if you'll stick with us, I think you'll get some things out of this that will make some revelations to you about how to watch the prophetic view that Daniel gives us. Remember that Jesus called Daniel a prophet. And so we're looking. Now, we said yesterday at our close, I thought of this. I was driving to a meeting where I was speaking in at Larry Ollison's church in Osage Beach, and we were listening to one of Brother Hagin's tapes. I think it was Hindrances to Healing. And he said, if you only read the Gospels, you read no further than the Gospels, you would not even know why Jesus came. You wouldn't know about the church. You wouldn't know that he came to deliver you from the curse of the law. He said, you think you would because you've read it already. But if you only read the Gospels, you would not know that. You would not see the church at all if you only read the Gospels, the Old Testament, up to and through the Gospels. Not in its reality, not in its being, not in what it is, not in who you are. I worked for Kenneth Hagin for many, many years, and people would ask him, what is the best way to study the Bible? He said, for Christians, for believers, the best way to study the Bible for yourself is to study the letters and to underline everything in those letters which say, in Him, in whom, in Christ, which tell you who you are and what you have because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and because of what He did for you in His death, burial, and resurrection. You know, Jesus said in John, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus spoke to the Jews and offered them a kingdom, a physical kingdom upon this earth. As you know, they did not accept that kingdom. And so then an age began that was hidden throughout all the Old Testament, the church age. And Jesus, after the Last Supper, when Satan had entered into Judas and Judas left, then Jesus began to speak to his followers in a new way. He began to talk to them about a new age. He began to talk to them about the Holy Spirit's coming. And what is happening in the church age is that the Holy Spirit is preparing this body to do everything, to be in the image of Jesus, and for Jesus to present us before the Father. Ephesians and many other scriptures tell us this. But when Jesus turns and begins to talk to those disciples, he gives them a new commandment. He says, and you're going to start seeing what he said to them in John chapter 14, actually 13. After Judas left, he's talking about he's going to be glorified. And he says, verse 34, John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. They already had the commandment to love in the Old Testament. They already had it in Leviticus 19, 34, 18 and 34. But something is different about this new commandment. What is different about it? That you love one another as I have loved you. Now, in this age, this church age, we have only one commandment, and that is this one right here. And that love, we can now love as he loved. We can now love one another as he loved because his love is shed abroad in us by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is inside us now. Romans 5:5, the love of God, the God kind of love, in other words, is shed abroad in our hearts, in our spirits, by the Holy Ghost. They never could love with the God kind of love before because it was not inside them. And so in John 14, 15, 16, he begins to tell them that he must go to the Father so that the Comforter can come. That's the way the King James translates it. It's the word paraclete. And the paraclete must come. He's a helper, the Holy Spirit. the translation of what paraclete means, one who is called to the aid of another, primarily as an advocate in a court of law, but more widely as a helper in any form whatsoever. The Holy Spirit is a helper to us. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go, because the Holy Spirit can come and be your helper. McLaren said, he's a comforter who makes us strong by his presence, our advocate, helper, guide, and instructor. The Amplified translates paraclete as comforter, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. So Jesus said, I must go and send you the helper that he can bring you along in this walk with God, changing you from glory to glory until we're actually in the image of Jesus. Now, some people say, and they sound so religious when they say it, I only read the red words. I give more attention to the red words. They carry more weight. Oh, no, they don't. This whole Bible is the Word of God. Yes, the words of Jesus are important, but the Bible is progressive revelation. You wouldn't even know there was such a thing as a church if you didn't read the letters. Now, when Jesus is ready to go, and he's having this talk with them and telling them that the order of things are changing, he says in verse 12 of chapter 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. They weren't ready. They hadn't been born again. They didn't have the teacher inside them. They only could take what he's telling them in these three chapters. Then later on, he's going to tell them to go to Jerusalem and there wait till they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But right here he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He is the complete guidance into truth, the Holy Spirit. What he hears in the council rooms of heaven, yonder in the depths of the Godhead, then he reveals to us through his Spirit. And he revealed the mystery of the church that these disciples had no idea of through a man named Paul. The revelation of the church, who we are, the body of Christ, that we're seated at the right hand of the Father, that we have authority over the enemy, all these things were revealed through the Apostle Paul. The church in the Old Testament is a hidden mystery. The church is not a fulfillment of prophecy. The church is a revelation. Now, I want you to read about that hidden mystery. We read about it yesterday in 1 Corinthians 2. We'll read it again in case you were not with us. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Howbeit, and Paul's writing this under the Holy Spirit through Paul is writing this. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, it is not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. Every time it talks about the mystery of the church in the New Testament, it tells us it was kept secret in God until Paul came. But we speak the wisdom of God. Paul's writing this in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's why God didn't tell him what he had planned. Amplified translates verse 7, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us into the glory of his presence. Who? The church. The letters are written to, for, and about the church. All the Bible is for the church to read, to study, to know, but not all of it is about us. The letters, the New Testament letters, are about us, and the mystery about us was kept secret in the Old Testament. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about this as well. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5. This is the mystery of Christ. Whereby, verse 4, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Anointed One, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Again, it's a hidden mystery. I like this one in Colossians 1. It's said so succinctly. Colossians 1, verse 26. Oh, I think I'll include this because tomorrow we're going to talk about Paul and how he reveals the mystery. Colossians 1, 25. Paul writes, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would or wills to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. None of this would you know if it had not been revealed to the Apostle Paul. We're going to see tomorrow how God did that, how he revealed it to Paul, how long it took him. You'll enjoy it. All this is coming up to the book of Daniel. Now, I want to remind you what we've got coming up. We have a wonderful trip to Israel coming up. You can still get in on it. We leave June 16 through 29. We're going to start in a place we've never started before, the Dead Sea area, the wells of Abraham, the place where Israel was released when God began to pick back up with it. Now, he started picking back up with it when he started bringing the Jews home. We do have one bus designated for youth, and I'd like to suggest to you that you receive an offering for some deserving youth in your church to come with us to that trip. It will be a blessing to them and a blessing to Israel. We'll also be in May 8, 9, and 10. We'll be in Collinsville at our church there, a glorious church fellowship, for an Awakening America rally. We had one of these so far, and it really was wonderful. We invite you to come if you're within coming distance. You can find out about our trip. You can find out about that Awakening America rally, and you can find about the Joe Jordan meeting. He's going to be out here in a school June 2nd through 5th at Prayer Mountain. He works so closely with Mom and Papa Goodwin, and he's going to be teaching about flowing in the Holy Spirit. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And this is Billy Brim saying to you, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.